everybody. Welcome to episode 796 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. Normally on Saturdays, we do the Marvel Chronology, but I wanted to get out some of the content I got at WonderCon last weekend. So today's episode is a special episode. It's an interview I did with Cass Anvar. We actually did it in the Hilton Bar, so the background noise is a little more than what you normally would have at the convention, but I wasn't going to pass up a chance to sit down and talk with Cass. You know, we've had him on the show before, and here's one of those things, right? Like, you know how people say don't meet your heroes or don't meet, you know, the people that you're fans of because invariably they'll disappoint you? Cass is the exact opposite. He's so personable. He's so grateful for his fans and generous with his time, and he's really one of us. And what I mean by that is he loves video games. He loves comic books. He loves these movies and these worlds that he gets to play in. And even if he wasn't an actor who was, you know, involved in these kind of sci-fi shows and playing Altar in the Assassin's Creed and growing up reading comic books, even if he wasn't an actor, he would still love all those things. So he really is one of us, and you really get that sense when you get a chance to meet him and talk to him. It's really amazing. So we talked about a lot of different stuff. Cass has a lot of irons in the fire right now. Obviously, Expanse is a big one. He just played Ra's al Ghul in the Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, did the voice acting for Ra's, which was a dream come true for him. He also has his Martian on the Loose, which ties into Expanse. It's a contest. He's given away a lot of cool stuff, plus his convention appearances. So yeah, a lot of irons in the fire for Cass. And also at the end, we talk about Moon Knight, which is probably the top of the list dream roles that Cass would love to play. And you know, I've tweeted out random times, just throwing it out there to Marvel Entertainment, MCU, Kevin Feige, whoever will listen, basically, that yeah, this is such a great idea. I love Moon Knight. I've always loved Moon Knight. You know, in the comics, he's Mark Spector. He's a white guy. And, you know, you think about it, he's a mercenary. He's in the Middle East. He feels bad about some of the things that are going on. And he turns on kind of the guy he's working for, kind of betrays him to save some people, and ends up in a bad situation at the foot of this statue of Khonshu, the moon god, and Khonshu basically makes him his avatar of vengeance, right? That's a quick and dirty origin of Moon Knight. So here's, again, I've talked a lot about why I think Cass would be perfect for this role, or I've said he would be perfect for the role. I don't know that I've ever broken it down on why I think casting Cass is an even better solution than some, you know, random white guy, whoever that might be. I mean, there's plenty of great white actors out there, right? And again, if you're staying true to the, you know, exactly what's in the comic, then yeah, you're going to need a Caucasian guy to play Moon Knight. And that's not Cass, right? Like, he's not a white guy. You know, he was actually born in Canada, which I think a lot of people don't realize, but he's from Iranian heritage. Both his parents are Iranian, so Middle Eastern, right? And again, the origin of Moon Knight sort of goes against that. Here was this white mercenary in the Middle East, in Egypt, and I don't want to say persecuting the native people, but certainly at odds with them to some extent, helping people loot tombs and antiquities and things like that. And that was part of, you know, where the friction came from. But certainly his roots, his as Moon Knight, the origin, really centered there in the Middle East. So why would Cass work so well? Why would a Middle Eastern guy work so well? Because you're changing something fundamental about the character. But here's the thing. Moon Knight is such a complex character. And, you know, the whole multiple personality disorder and all that really factors in. So now you flip it and you go from Mark Spector's heritage being as a Caucasian white guy to being a Middle Eastern guy. And now all of a sudden it adds even another complexity. You still keep him as a mercenary, right? Whatever backstory you want, he was, you know, traveling the world in the mud and the blood with the guns, you know, whether that be South America, Eastern Europe, wherever. but tried not to ply his trade as a mercenary in the Middle East because that's where his heritage was. Those are, you know, his people to some extent. And I know there's, you know, I'm generalizing a lot here because there's a lot of different factions and different cultures and different nationalities and such, but just bear with me. So you flip it, right? He gets an offer he can't refuse to finally go and be a mercenary, take a job in the Middle East, which he always, you know, tried to avoid. But let's say that this is like the last big payday. It's an offer he can't refuse. And he does this one last job and he's set for life. And obviously he goes in there to do this job. Something goes wrong. And then you basically follow the same origin story of Mark Spector becoming Moon Knight, except you have the added layer, the added complexity, the added guilt that Cass's version of Mark Spector would feel because he's from, you know, that heritage, and now he's betrayed that as well. Like, he always told himself he would never, you know, ply his trade, he would never be a mercenary fighting against, you know, his countrymen or what have you, you know, you, however you want to do it, his tribe, his countrymen, his nationality, however it works best, you know, making sure we're respectful to, you know, whatever cultures need that we need to respect and all that, you know, I'm not saying that we exploit it, but it does add that extra layer, which really suits the story of Mark Spector and suits, I think, the, kind of the nature of the character, this conflicted guy who's always suffering to the point where he creates these other identities for himself, this, you know, dissociative identity disorder or multiple personality disorder, whatever you want to call it. So for me, that's what would be fascinating about having Cass Anbar play Mark Spector or Moon Knight. And even beyond that, I think the guy's a great actor. I think he's got some chops, and I don't know that he's ever... And granted, I haven't seen everything he's done, but I feel like he hasn't gotten a role, at least that I've seen, where he's like the guy, right? Like, he gets to really sort of carry a show. And I think he has the talent to do that. But even on The Expanse, you know, he's more of a part of an ensemble cast, but seeing him as like the star of a movie, I would just absolutely love to see. So hopefully it happens someday for Cass, because again, I think he's one of us. I think we should all be rooting for him. We should all be tweeting out at random times to Marvel and Kevin Feige that we really need to make this Moon Knight movie happen, first of all, because Moon Knight's an awesome character, and second of all, we need Cass Anwar to play Mark Spector. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking about Moon Knight and Cass. I'm going to let you listen to the interview. I hope you guys all enjoy it. As always, thanks for the support. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Oh, it's Groot. It's Groot. It's Groot, everybody. All right. Coming to you live from WonderCon with one of my favorite actors. Always good to see Cass Anbar. Welcome back to the show, man.
I'm very happy to be here. Where else are you going to have somebody shout out? Oh, look, it's Groot.
Yeah, exactly.
Only at a Comic-Con.
So, a lot of news. You got a lot of stuff going on. I think...
Oh, man, I'm dizzy. I'm dizzy. I have not... Like, literally, I don't even... What country am I in?
Right?
Like, I've been traveling so much, doing so many stops. I've been all over the planet in the past 6 months. Since January, I've been shooting. I shot 3 feature films all over the planet and been doing promo for season 4. It's crazy.
Isn't it nice to be wanted?
Yep. Very nice.
Yeah, so
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, you gotta worry when the phone stops ringing.
Exactly. So I got to enjoy it while it lasts, right?
Yeah, I think that the last time we had you on was right before Sci-Fi announced that they were canceling it.
Okay.
So we haven't even had you on to hear your...
To commiserate.
What was your reaction when you guys got saved by Amazon? When Amazon swooped in, was it just...
Oh, that was a Cinderella love fest. It was unlike anything I've ever been through. In the sense that we had no idea it was going to happen when it happened. Just like we had no idea we were going to get canceled, we couldn't believe that we got canceled. We were on a high.
The numbers are great.
We had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. We had a reasonably good ratings. The problem was that we didn't know this, but sci-fi is a traditional cable town, and it lives, eats, and dies on live views. Expanse is not a live view show.
No.
Expanse is a binging show. And you don't want to watch it live and have the commercials and all that stuff. So what you do is you tape record it. And you watch four episodes in a row when you you and your girlfriend get order in and watch four episodes. That kills the ratings on a traditional cable show. And if you kill the ratings, you kill the money.
Yeah.
So they were, despite the fact that in the streaming world, we were doing really well. We had millions of fans. But in the live news, we weren't. And so they were losing money every episode, even with 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, even with all these people watching it on Netflix and Amazon all around the world, because they didn't see any of that. Sci-fi didn't see any of that money. So they had no choice, and I actually don't blame them.
Right.
Because I got told by the head of Sci-fi, it's the first time I've had to cancel a great show. So they knew that it was ridiculous.
Right.
But they couldn't make another decision. Like, they did the, I think, they did the right thing they had to do for, from a business perspective. And honestly, thank God, because we are exactly where we should be.
Yeah, it's been great with Amazon.
We could not be in a better place. The team at Amazon, the love from Amazon, Amazon Prime Video, the love from the head office of Amazon, the love from the CEO. Like, Jeff Bezos is a huge fan of the show. And quite honestly, he was a big part of Amazon waking up and going after the show the way it did. The fans created a huge impact. It made a lot of noise. That noise made its way to Amazon and to Jeff. And it woke him up. Because everyone had said no. All the streaming networks had said no. But for some reason, this fan reaction, people said,
There's something here.
And Jeff loves the show. He loves the books. I think he basically said, you know what? This is too good.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Try and make it work.
Now,
it's kind of the nice thing about owning your own multi-billion dollar corporation.
Yeah, now how did you, as a cast feel, was it still, because we've talked about it before, how you guys really feel like you're all part of a big family. You have so much fun making the show. All that carried over to season three at Amazon?
Season four, I'm sorry. Yeah. The only thing that changed is the show's able to be darker, sexier, and we don't have to worry about time. It's still the same writing team. In fact, I was told that the notes coming from Amazon, because usually there's always a little bit of wariness about the writing room getting notes from the network, because some networks are amazing and some networks aren't amazing because they don't have the knowledge or the experience to give good notes. And like HBO is a great network. Amazon apparently is a great network too. They give good notes. And but they let the creators create. But the beautiful thing about Amazon, which cannot be said for everybody, Amazon more than anyone else, even Netflix, they are of the people. Netflix is a specialized entity that deals with just movies. Amazon is in everybody's homes. It started as a bookstore. And everyone around the planet, regardless of whether they're a sci-fi fan or a romance fan or a comedy fan, everyone knows about Amazon through their other franchises. And so the people that work at Amazon, even at Amazon Prime Movie, they have knowledge from this incredible organization about how to get the message out about this show into those people's homes. They don't want this to be a great sci-fi show. They want this to be a great show that everyone can watch. They don't want this to just have a couple of million hardcore science fiction fans. They want this to have tens of millions of global, accessible, everyday fans. They want my parents and your parents to love this show. And that's something that we've never had before. We've never had somebody trying to help us get this amazingly beautiful, creative, high-quality product into everybody's homes. And that's why I think we're exactly where we need to be.
Yeah, I mean, you could be somebody going on Amazon to order toilet paper, and right there, Expanse.
Did you see Jack Ryan's promo campaign last
year? I did.
I was ordering, just around that time, I was ordering tons of Amazon stuff to furnish my house. every single box came with Jack Ryan tape.
Yep.
Like, do you know how many millions of people heard about Jack Ryan because they ordered something on Amazon?
Yep.
It's absolutely brilliant.
It's awesome. It is. It is.
It's taking advantage of your franchise in every way.
Right. And now, and then you're doing something yourself kind of globally, right, to kind of promote it. You want to talk about that?
I'm doing it on a very personal, kind of small scale. And I'm doing something I'm calling Martian on the Loose because all my fans, the fans actually, they call themselves the Screaming Firehawks. Right?
Yep. Awesome.
They stole the name from one episode of the show where we're renaming the Tachi.
Yep.
We're trying to figure out what to call her, and we ended up calling her the Rocinante because Holden wants to call her Rocinante, and it's a very poignant name. But before we name her the Rocinante, Alex screams out his name, Screaming Firehawk.
Yep.
And the three of them look at me and kind of shake their head in dismay and move on.
Yeah, I can remember the autographed photo I have of you. I'm like, can you write, let's call it Screaming Firehawk?
Yeah. And so the fans picked that up. I guess they liked the name, so they picked it up as their name. We're in an interview. Sorry. They're now, and what I do is I like to do stuff for these crazy firehawks because they're the ones who saved us. And so what I've been doing in the past is all sorts of crazy shenanigans. And this year, I wanted to do another crazy shenanigan. And I said, you know what? I do so much shenanigans, I may as well brand it. So I branded everything I do that's really crazy, wild, annoying, and out of this world that I do for the fans. I branded it Martian on the Loose because that's kind of what I am. And so this year, I just launched it 2 days ago. It's a worldwide expanse book hunt, treasure hunt. So what I'm doing is I've been traveling the world, and I'm going to continue to travel the world doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And everywhere I go, I'm going to be hiding a different expanse book. And I'm going to be posting clues and passwords on my social media. And these clues are, the clues are incredibly creative and fun. And you kind of have to be a fan of the show. You have to know the show. And if you can figure out where I've hidden the book, you'll have some really cool special gifts waiting for you at that final destination. And inside each book, I write a special handwritten note. And in that note, I tell you guys some cool things. And one of the things I do is I give a sneak peek into season 4.
Awesome.
That has been approved, so I'm not breaking any rules, but it's nobody else is doing that, and you're not getting any of those sneak peeks from any other place. So if you want to kind of get a little hint of season 4, track down this Martian on the Loose on my social media and figure out where I've hidden the books. And the beautiful thing is, if you're a Screaming Firehawk who's not in any of the cities that I'm going to be dropping a book, you can still play. If you could figure out where I hid the book and what the password is, you email it to martiantontheloose@gmail.com. If you got the right answer, you will be emailed those digital gifts.
Oh, that's awesome.
The gifts will be digitized and sent to you.
Now, do we have a release date for season 4 yet?
This year, later in the year, that's all I know.
Okay. And to switch gears here, we're out here at WonderCon. It's Batman's 80th. You have a really cool Batman thing that you just did. Was that a blast?
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I got asked to play Ra's al Ghul.
The best.
In the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle team-up versus. It's crazy. So, Batman and the Turtles, they first are versus each other, and then they have to team up against Shredder and Ra's al Ghul, who are obviously trying to take over Gotham.
So is he your favorite Batman villain? Did you know
him? I love him.
You knew about him beforehand?
I have to say, yeah. I've been wanting to play Ra's al Ghul for a decade. Ever since Batman Returns, Liam Neeson, I've been wanting. And even in the comic books, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
So who are some of the other cast that you got to work with on this?
I didn't get to work with anybody. I mean, Tara Strong's in it, who plays Harley Quinn all the time. So yeah, we got Darren Criss, Tara Strong, Rachel Bloom, Troy Baker, Tom Kenny, who's the Penguin, John DiMaggio, Mr. Freeze,
Wow, so it's really a who's who.
Kyle Maloney,
Batman.
Michelangelo, Cass Anvar, I don't know who that little dork is, playing Ra's al Ghul. Carlos Alasqua, who plays Bane. Brian George, who's actually on The Expanse, is playing Alfred.
Brian George plays Avasarala's husband.
Right.
In the first two seasons. Baron Vaughn, who plays Donatello. Jim Meskimen, who plays Commissioner Gordon. Just so many.
So many great.
Eric Bowser, who plays Leonardo. And then we got Robin. Like everybody. There's a who's who in this. And I saw the movie. It's really beautifully directed. It's beautifully animated. Great voice actors in it. And, you know, Ra's gets to kick some butt.
You know, he's really, as far as Batman villains, he's got this regalness to him. Was that what attracted you to the role?
I loved the idea of a character that has been alive for hundreds of years, reanimating himself, because just the wisdom and the education and the knowledge that you acquire over that much time makes him formidable, and how much physical kind of training he's had, and the psychology and the philosophy, like he's been through every major epoch. He's been around every major leader, every fascist, every tyrant, every Machiavellian leader possible. Like, he's gained so much knowledge and experience. And he has such a cool philosophy. You know, sometimes you kind of have to listen to him and go, you know,
he's got a point.
Boy's got a point. You know, he follows a very harsh Darwinian approach to civilization. It's basically, you know, survival of the fittest is the way to go, and sometimes you got to cull.
Yep.
It's cold, but it's kind of an interesting. You can't say he's wrong.
Right, exactly.
All you can say is he's heartless.
Now, you said you've been wanting to play him for a long time, so check that one off the list.
Yep.
I know there are some other roles that you would love to have. You want to mention any that
you,
now that are...
Yeah, definitely. I am dying, and I have no qualms. I am shameless to tell this to Marvel. I am Mark Spector.
Indeed.
I am the MCU's Moon Knight. Because that guy, that character fascinates me. This ex-military mercenary, selfish, self-absorbed, kind of somewhat psychologically messed up guy who has multiple personalities that are in conflict with each other, trying to redeem himself because of what he had done in the days before he got his powers from the god, the moon god Khonshu, where he gets all these amazing, cool powers. But it's not like a normal superhero. He's got this spiritual connection. He has to deal with a god, and he is kind of the avatar of that god, and he has a mission as that avatar, as well as being a superhero trying to make the world a better place while dealing with all of his baggage and all of this psychological turmoil that is preventing him from sometimes accomplishing his goals. It's an amazing, it's kind of like Marvel's Batman, but it's an even more messed up version.
I remember the first time you mentioned it to me that you wanted to play Moon Knight, who's one of my favorite characters also, and I'm like, oh, that's perfect casting. And even now, listeners, you'll notice me once I'm out on social media, just throw it out there. Hey, Marvel, here's your random
Moon
reminder.
Yeah.
Moon, you got cast.
Some guys did some cool artwork, which took a Moon Knight and an Altair from Assassin's Creed. Both of them have the white hoods,
mm-hmm.
and kind of fused them together. It was very cool.
So that's what I'm going to ask you, listeners. Just randomly, once in a while, throw it out there on Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah.
Cass Anvar is Moon Knight.
Tag the old MCU and let them know. I know they have a problem with that property, the Moon Knight property, just because I think it's a hard character to bring into live action.
Right.
A lot of people have tackled it and tried to do it, but it's just one of those properties that is a little more difficult to bring from the page to the stage, but this boy would love to do it.
Yeah.
I can help you guys.
Hopefully one day. Hopefully one day.
I can help you make this happen.
Well, it's been great talking to you, Cass, as always. If any of our listeners want to
Come see Batman tomorrow at 1:30.
Yeah, 1:30 in the arena. And also, if they want to follow
Martian on the Loose on my Twitter, it's just Cass Anvar, CASANVAR, Twitter, Instagram. We posted the rules to the contest. We posted what the contest is. Next step, it might even have happened already, posting the clues. And then it'll be the passwords or passwords within clues. And then it's like, go. On your mark, get set. Firehawks, go.
And don't forget, later this year, season 4 of Expanse, which we're all looking forward to.
End of the year, man. Can't wait myself. It looks good. We showed a little tiny clip at this Amazon thing we did a few days ago. Sneak peek of season 4, and I had goosebumps.
Awesome. Awesome. So.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.